Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us in worship this morning, both in the house and online. It's certainly an honor and privilege to serve you in this Advent season. And these readings I found particularly thought-provoking, so much so I really had a hard time putting a message together because there's just so much in here. But what struck me greatly is how much the Mother Mary means to me, and she's become more and more important to me as I get older. I guess maybe because I'm gaining some understanding finally. And I think of her, and I think of tomorrow, December 21st. And this is where I probably should have Bob Carmody come up and talk a little astronomy for us, because I understand it. We need to be praying for clear skies tomorrow, because there's a special event that's going to happen in the heavens. Saturn, help me, Bob. Saturn and Jupiter are going to align. Now, is that a conjunction? There's going to be a conjunction in the skies, and this is referred to as the Christmas star, and I guess it's 800 years in the making, and it only happens that often. And I guess when Venus got in the making, that's what happened with the Bethlehem star. That's what created that. And as I think about that star, and if we get a chance to look at it tomorrow, Mary saw the same thing. Mary looked to the heavens and saw fulfillment of the promises fulfilled in the heavens. And we get to join in witnessing that. We are privileged. First people to see it in 800 years. I think that's marvelous. What I also find marvelous in the readings is a simple word. I'm somewhat of an English geek. I think the Benedictine sisters helped me appreciate English grammar because I struggled with it so much when I was younger. But I pay attention to verbs. And there's a verb that just rose off the pages for me as I pondered these readings. And it's the word will, W-I-L-L. And it is stated over 20 times in what we heard and read this morning. And 18 of those are directly attributed to God's promising what he would do for King David and what he would do for the Virgin Mary. God's willing promise King David's throne will stand forever. God's willing promised Mary nothing is impossible for God. And through the birth of Jesus, the impossible did happen. God became man, became Jesus, became one of us. And through a man, a human, through Jesus, all of God's wills, his promises were fulfilled in that very moment. Everything that the prophets had spoke of and proclaimed for all those centuries leading up to the birth of Jesus were fulfilled in that moment. God is faithful. And his faithfulness was proved in that very moment. And because nothing is impossible for God, he could have simply willed salvation into existence. Right? I mean, that's what he did at the dawn of creation. He said, let there be, and there was. Light, plants, animals, planets, stars, humans. All became reality simply by his willing it, by his saying, let there be. But God didn't do that with salvation. He didn't do that with saving us from the results of human selfishness, which are sin and death. Instead, he desired to invite men and women to cooperate with him in delivering on his promise. And that's why we hear of King David and Mary in our readings today. He intervened and they said, come on in. They are two of many people whose lives God intervened and invited them to cooperate with him in fulfilling his promises. And his intervention did not stop with just inviting humans to help. He goes one step further. His intervention included him becoming one of us. He didn't have to do that either. And we know what all happened in the course of that. and his suffering and death and resurrection. But why would he do all of that when he could simply, by his willing it, save us from ourselves? He did all that because he gave us, in the beginning, when he willed us into existence, free will. The freedom to choose. He willed us free will so that we can freely choose love and that we can love freely. That's what love does, right? Love does not clutch and cling and hang on to. Love lets go. Love does not coerce and confine. It liberates. Love opens us to what is possible for us when we cooperate with the will of God. Just a little side note. Can anyone tell me what the fourth candle in the Advent wreath symbolizes? And I need to hear you real loud because you've got stuff over your mouth and I have trouble hearing anyway. Billy, I think, probably has the answer. Love. Love. We're speaking about love, and here the fourth candle in the wreath symbolizes love. I think that's what we're supposed to be talking about this morning. Love. Because that's what it's all about. That's why God became man. I think that's pretty cool. So, what will happen if we surrender our will, open ourselves to the will of God, and cooperate with love? Here are a few examples. Abraham, a nomadic tribal leader, wandering through the desert, feeding his flocks, became the father of faith. Moses, a convicted murderer, became the liberator of an entire nation of enslaved people. David, an insignificant shepherd boy, the last in line to inherit anything in his father's family, became a king that united the kingdom of Israel. And Mary, a humble teenage unwed mother, became the mother of God. And I've got more. Think of all those we hear of in the gospel who came or were brought before Jesus and with their faith cooperated with Jesus, with love. The blind could see, the lame walked, the deaf and mute heard and proclaimed the glory of God. The accused were liberated, and the dead rose to life, and I've got more. Look to those in our very faith community that have opened themselves in faith, believing nothing is impossible for God. And they're in the pews with us this morning. We meet them outside of COVID-19 in our grocery stores and schools and neighborhoods. They are those afflicted with illness that are now completely healed. They are those that have been found and now are flourishing in faith. There are those who are struggling with immense burdens, and he still finds the strength to get up every day and carry those crosses, and they are grateful yet. Nothing is impossible for God. And all these people I've mentioned are proof of that, and there are millions more. This Christmas morning, I wonder, as I look upon each and every one of you here this morning and think of all you at home, I wonder what will be the very first gift you open on Christmas morning. And I ask, will it be you? Will you open the gift of yourself who willed you into being? Will you offer your will to the will of God, the one who created and loves you? And I wonder what will happen if you will. For remember, nothing is impossible for God. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. And the church says,